How can I follow the path that someone else has laid for me to be successful?
Sitting on deuces while the burn. Still f***ing rap music cause I want more. All money in, it's just us four. It's just Cobby, it's just Harvey, it's just Rempo. It's just Adam, it's just Black Salmon, both the facts. Where your 600 bands, where your Rovers at? Where your Cuban legs, where your Rollies at? Where your big booty bad, staple posters at? Where you hustle, where you run from the police at? Where you ever represented hope, where the hopeless at? Where you had to take an oath before you sold the sack? Dealt with all the pressure, played it like you never noticed that. Amongst it all, put yourself on the map. Turn it to a booming operation, where your focus at? Where your 600 bins, where your Rovers at? Where your Cuban link, where your Rollie at? I would rather shoot before I run. Pressure on my shoulder when done. You should try and do what we done. Make $1 million while you young. I would rather shoot before I run. Pressure on my shoulder when done. You should try and do what we done. Make $1 million while you young.
So if you could tell us how exactly and what deal you did to make your first $1 million.
I can tell you it's how I came up. Similar to climbing out the grave, huh? Can't be acting like a bitch trying to get saved, bruh. Get that dirt up off your shoulder, step your game up. Can't be chasing pussy, switch your ways up. Can't be f***ing off your loot, you gotta save up. So you gon' probably fail trying to play us. Streets ain't for everybody, get your grades up. Ain't about your money, you just looking for a stage, huh? And all that stunting put a f***ing in your brain, huh? Stupid f***ing, you can't fade us. Like, who even raised cubs? Where you come from? Where you get your name from? You was in the house, not with the runaway slaves, huh? You was never in the spot when they raid, huh? You ain't really bought it, little this a phase, huh? I would rather shoot before I run. Pressure on my shoulder when done. You should try and do what we done. Make $1 million while you young. I would rather shoot before I run. Pressure on my shoulder when done. You should try and do what we done.
WSJU Radio, Mad Max on air here. Very emotional here tonight with the passing of Nipsey Hussle. Definitely one of the many artists out here making an impact in the hip-hop culture. And it's sad to see what happened to him last night. I wasn't expecting it. He was really doing a lot for the community and to make this world more united. And he was doing a lot of great things, and to see what happened to him was just terrible, and no one deserves that. And it was very emotional because Nipsey was a great guy from what everyone knew, and his music was great. Lyrical content was awesome. I always liked his music. I will forever like his music, and it's very ashamed what happened last night. And my condolences go out to Nipsey Hussle's family, and rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. Now, we have a great show for you here tonight, in which DJ Chuck Chillout from WBLS, the legend, will be calling in at 8:15 p.m. We'll be having a nice interview tonight, and Pretty Lou will be in the building with me and my brother DJ Marco. We'll be giving away tickets on air here, so you got to call in for tickets to win to his third annual birthday charity concert. We have Raekwon and Ghostface, Fat Joe, Remy Ma, The Lox, Jim Jones, and many more artists at the concert, Irving Plaza, April 16th. Call in, again, 718-990-3758. That's WSJU Radio's phone number. Right now, in the booth with me, in the building, we have Tony Paventa from World Wrestling Radio. Tony, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Great, great. The whole story of Nipsey Hussle, though, you gotta question, you know, what's between the lines in the circumstances that are involved in that, you know. But, yeah, it's just very, very sad. Very, very, very sad.
Indeed. I did not... I'm like, my mind is just so blown away from it because, like, it's just insane. Like, it's just not something I expected.
It really isn't, but like you just like it's like it's just like you just hear a name like I'm like just like boom like a name all the time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just is terrible.
This we must do better. We must learn from this situation because Nipsey Hussle was one of the people that was grinding out here trying to make the world a better place. He's putting forth a documentary. He was going to talk with the LAPD on how they can make issues better for the world. And in that community, and it's just a shame what happened.
Uh-huh.
It really is.
Yeah.
And but he'll always be remembered. No one will ever forget him. I know Nick Cannon's going to carry on what he was doing, as well as everyone should.
And rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so.
But let me tell you this. You got to get the shields up for Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
They got to watch him like a hawk because you don't know. You got to watch out here.
Uh-huh. But so tell me what's on the docket tonight?
Tonight
I heard you got a little double header coming up.
Double header, 8:15. That's 10 minutes. DJ Chuck Chillout from WBLS, one of the legendary DJs of all time, will be calling in, and we'll be having a great interview discussing music, his time at Kiss FM, WBLS, and more about hip hop music in general. And at 9:30 p.m. we will have Pretty Lou coming in, one of the hottest hosts in NYC, with my brother DJ Marco, which we do the Wednesday night, 9:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. show, the DJ Marco and DJ Mad Max show. And we'll be having a special interview tonight for you guys, giving away the tickets. Again, 718-990-3758, the WSJU number to call in around 9:30, in between that time period and 10:30 p.m. for ticket giveaways to the Pretty Lou's third annual birthday charity concert at Irving Plaza, April 16th. Great concert coming that way.
And tell us also what you got for this upcoming Thursday at 3 p.m.
This upcoming Thursday, Derek Jones, cornerback of the New York Jets, will be calling in. We're having an interview as well for that. And as well as for me and Marco's show, Wednesday night, 9:30 p.m., we have upcoming artist Suzanne Christine coming in for an interview as well.
But who else is coming?
Suzanne Christine. She's an upcoming artist. You probably wouldn't hear of her just yet.
On the same day?
No, that's Wednesday night, 9:30
this
to 11 p.m.
This upcoming Wednesday?
Yes.
So you have a very busy week.
Very busy week.
So tonight you got two guests.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday you have another guest.
Yes.
And Thursday you have another guest.
That's correct.
And then it just keeps rolling on until next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a guest for next Monday?
Next Monday is DJ Ninth Prince, in which he has a mixtape coming out with OVO, which is Drake's label, and 40s. And that mixtape's called A Weekend in Toronto, in which OVO artists will be featured on. He's worked with many people in the industry, as well as the Lox, MMG, which is Maybach Music Group. It's going to be a great interview next week as well.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned if you're listening.
Perfect. This is sports and hip-hop. Sports this weekend obviously was just the baseball with the locals, the Mets winning 2 out of 3 against the Nationals, and the Yankees losing 2 out of 3 to the Baltimore Orioles. So I mean we're in game 4 of 162. There's nothing really big to really like discuss with that, you know. Just wanted to like tell you like what happened.
LGM is all I gotta say. I know you're a Yankee fan, right?
Yeah, and he's got his Lenny Dykstra
jersey. Lenny Dykstra jersey.
From 1986.
Yeah, that's right. And how about today on air? Was he dropping F-bombs?
Yeah, it was a really messy situation. So apparently Ron Darling in his latest book, I think it's called 128 Strikes,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Something like that. I was reading about it, and Darling put in the book that he was racist and yelling at the guy from the Red Sox. What was his name? It's going to kill me now. Because it was a racist claim that he made.
It's called... no, it's not. It's called 108 Stitches.
Yeah, Loose Threads. That book is out now, and Ron Darling made the accusation, allegation, whatever, that Lenny Dykstra was made racist taunts to the Red Sox in the 86 World Series. Lenny Dykstra went on with Michael Kay today, and
I know
it blew up.
And I know that Lenny has had a bunch of issues in his life. He's gone to jail. He's, you know, had, like, drug issues and stuff like that. So what we heard on the air today with him was not really surprising.
Yeah, no.
but it wasn't a good showing to prove his innocence. I'll just tell you that.
Yeah, no.
So another bit of news, the NCAA.
That's right.
College basketball March
Madness.
How about
that Duke game last night, Michigan State taking down Duke?
I'll tell you this. It was very disappointing to see Coach K's team just get wrapped up like that. So the era of Zion and Duke is over, and it ends at the hands of the Michigan State Spartans. So we now have a Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
It's Texas Tech. It is
Virginia.
Michigan State.
And Auburn.
I mean,
what are your expectations for this?
Auburn's riding high right now.
Mm-hmm.
Riding high. It is unreal what the Tigers have been doing. You know, but because here's the thing with it, they beat UNC and they beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
In a matter of 2 days.
But I'm just so surprised about Duke. Like, I couldn't get over that. The 1 point, they won 68-67. Michigan State beat Duke. Now,
actually, no, a matter of 3 days, because they beat UNC on Friday and they beat Kentucky on Sunday.
Right.
So it's a matter of 3 days. But it was kind of a shame that Duke could not make it to the Final Four because they clearly had the best talent.
And Zion and R.J. Barrett.
They had the best talent in the entire nation.
Biggest names in college basketball right now.
Oh, yeah. But they had the best talent in the nation. But anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the Elite Eight when you have some of these teams with great defenses. Like Michigan State. Michigan State has one of the best defenses in college basketball. So really wasn't that big of a surprise there that they were able to neutralize their offense. And Coach K just couldn't get anything done.
No.
Even with Zion and RJ and Cam on the court, Trey Jones, Bolden,
After the Final Four and after the championship tournament, after the whole thing is over, I'm just waiting for the draft because the Knicks have good odds right now to get Zion. If the Knicks get Zion, I'll be happier than I've ever been in a while, and it'll be a good streak because the Jets picking up Le'Veon Bell was definitely a great feeling for me.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, it's just like you get to look forward to it. As of right now, the Knicks do have the worst record in the NBA.
That's right.
I mean, the only team that's kind of close, I say, is probably the Phoenix Suns. I think it's, what, two games? I think the Suns are two games better. The Cavs are five games better. The Bulls have run themselves out, and not hardly any teams from the West besides the Suns, obviously, have really been that bad. You know, the West has been very, very competitive. So it goes to show that the Knicks are probably going to get the most ping pong balls in that lottery, and they are in good position to land the first pick.
Yeah, you know? And I can only hope.
And they need that luck on their side.
They do. It's time for the Knicks to get the first pick and get Zion. It's only right. It's time.
It's very much time.
It's time. And how about the Nets?
They beat Boston a couple days ago in Barclays. Of course, Kyrie was not playing for the Celtics.
That's right.
And I know that Brooklyn schedule to end the season is going to be rough.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the true test to see if they are actually worth being a playoff team. I just want them to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Number one, because it's good for the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for the city. It's good for the local vibe, and for us Nets fans that have been waiting for this for a while. And it's good for potential free agents. They got two. They have two max slots.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear rumors about Kyrie possibly preferring Brooklyn over the Knicks,
that's good.
Free agency,
that's good.
I mean, that's really big stuff. Of course, I'd much rather want to see KD.
I think everyone
like
would.
If there was a choice between Kyrie and KD, I would take KD in a heartbeat.
I don't think anyone
because
disagree with you,
because we already have D'Angelo Russell,
mm-hmm.
and we could just re-sign we could just re-sign Russell and then bring in KD.
Yep.
You know, but
and I also want to shout out the event that's going on with the ticket raffle giveaway at 7:30 p.m. Wednesday night at the where is it that place in. What's the place where they're having it at for WSJU's holding that?
What is it?
That event, the Brooklyn Net event.
Oh, the live stream for,
yeah, the live
for
stream.
Brooklyn Nets Toronto Raptors presented by Red Bull.
That's right. And I want to thank Tony for coming on today and doing a quick sports segment. And when we come back on air, we will be with DJ Chuck Chillout.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned. World Wrestling Radio, by the way, is on Thursdays from 12 to 1 p.m.
Thank you.
Yeah. WSJU Radio, DJ Mad Max on air here, and we have a very, very, very special guest on the phone lines tonight. One of the greatest to ever do it on the turntables, jog wheels, on vinyl, and has kept it real since day one. That is DJ Chuck Chillout. Chuck Chillout, how are you doing tonight?
Fine, sir. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well tonight, and I appreciate you calling into the show. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And
what's good with you?
I was loving the mix on Saturday night. You were tearing it up with that Mobb Deep tribute.
Yeah, it's only right, man. You know what I mean? I was there at that last show in Vegas. So I was there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was there, bro.
Rest in peace, the Prodigy.
It was all the same show with the Art of Rap Tour. It was me, Ice-T, Big Bang King, Mobb Deep, Onyx, and Curtis Blow, and Carrot. It was about 8,000 people out there. It was 105 degrees, too.
But that was an amazing show, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not knowing, man. Havoc came over, gave me a pound, and then they went on. And then that was the last time I saw the brother.
Rest in peace to Prodigy.
Yes, sir.
Now, when did you first see a pair of turntables and you were just like, that's what I want to do for a living?
Wow. You want to go there, okay. well, mom's had a birthday party. I think I might have been probably 15, 16. And this cat, she hired a DJ. He kept playing Brass Destruction over and over and over. And I was like, yo, what is he doing over there? You know what I mean? So, I watched him all night, you know. At turntables, playing records, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just kept saying, yo, what is he doing? What is he doing? So, as it went on, hip-hop started in the Bronx. So, I started seeing certain people like Breakout, Grandmaster Flash,
mm-hmm.
Bambada, Kool Herc, and so on. So then I said, let me form my own crew. So, I bugged my mom. She bought me my first turntables. I think I might have been 16, 17, somewhere around there. So, that was always my thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I took that up and, stayed with that, and one thing led to another. Started in the basement from the Bronx to 22nd Street, you know what I mean? So, going from the playing in the park to doing community centers and doing clubs and then going on touring and traveling the world,
mm-hmm.
that's what it is, bro.
Now, the first set of turntables that you got, were those the Techniques?
Yeah, I had you got to be old school, remember? I had a pair of black SO 2000s.
Oh, okay.
And they don't make those no more, bro.
Yeah, no. Nope. Now it's all electronic.
Yeah, man. I'm not pushing no buttons.
Yeah, no. You're keeping it
100% old school, which is what I like.
Yo, you know, it's gotten to the point now, man. I bring my partner DJ Blast with me, and he brings turntables and a mixer and set up when I play. But I can't, I don't like them CDJs or put them on the non-sensitive controllers. I don't like it, man. I don't like the way it feels. I just don't like it, man. You know, before all that crap came, people was using turntables. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got a pair of the DDJ SX2s, and I just want to go back to vinyl. Like, I never used vinyl before, and I feel like it's not art. I feel like vinyl is the art of hip-hop.
Like, you know, a lot of these young guys don't know, man. I used to carry 10 speakers, amps, 15, 20 crates of records. And then you got it set up, and you might make $100. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I went through all of that. So, but you know, one thing I can say, man, it kept me off the corner. It kept me out of trouble. A lot of people I grew up are dead or in jail. So it definitely did the right thing by me. You know what I mean? So.
Mhm. And then going back to what you said about the crates, nowadays everything is just loaded on the library in a computer.
Yeah, you know, they don't know about carrying 15, 20 crates. You got to come with 3-hand trucks.
Yeah.
But you know, but you might have only played 2 crates, but you had to put up there 10, 12 crates to show you was hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a certain look that you know what I mean? So, that's what it was.
Now, how did you get your name, Chuck Chill Out?
I was always hanging out. So, you know, back then, man, it was a lot of fights back then.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's like, yo, Chuck, chill, but just stay with me. You know what I mean? So a lot of people was getting, in the early 80s, I see a lot of rap people get beat up, and DJs get beat up. You know, and I wasn't having it. So that's where it kind of started from there, and it stayed with me. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember your first big event that you DJed?
Oh, yeah. My first party was at the other night somebody asked me this question. My first party was at a spot called Twin Parks. It was a project near the Bronx Zoo by Fordham Road.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first party. I got $100 there.
We all know that you've had some of the greatest and classic records with Cool Chip as well. So what was it like working with Cool Chip, and how did you two meet?
Oh, we both grew up in the, you know, me, him, and Flex grew up in the Deuces Wild. We all grew up in the northeast section of the Bronx, that Gun Hill, 233rd area. So we all grew up in that area. And Chip lived around the corner from me. So when they first approached me about doing an album, they wanted me to do like a compilation album, and I was like, I didn't want to do that because I didn't feel like calling and bugging people for songs because I was already in the studio with tracks. So I said, yo, man, you know, let me find a rapper. I said, wait a minute. I said, my homie Chip raps. So we went into a studio downtown where everybody recorded called INS Studios, 19 Murray Street. Everybody went through there. Q Sweat,
ooh,
X Clan, Mantronics, Just Ice. A lot of people recorded in that studio.
Just Ice, that's going way back.
Yeah, but you know, but this spot was like the main spot.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was recording in there. So, you know, I did Discmasters in there, and I did my stuff in there. So we did Rhythm is the Master. I recorded that with him and Tom the Rhyme, and then I went and shopped the deal, and then I got picked up by my man Van Gibbs, who had a production deal with Polygram.
Mm.
So that's how we did the album. So.
And congrats on that, too, because that led to a amazing journey.
I had a had another cat that worked with me with tracks named Boy White. So.
And you had songs with him as well?
No, the thing with this with him was, you know, I would find like all the loops I wanted to use, but then he had all the equipment in the house, so I would go there and we would do what we got to do and come up with something, and then we would get a track to Chip and he would rap to it.
Mm.
You know, and it was just, you know, it was basically me, him, and Chip produced the album. Mm.
I love the cover on it, by the way, for Masters of the Rhythm.
It also came with a comic book that was in Rap Masters magazine, so too. So,
wow.
I don't know if you remember that.
No. I know Rhythm is the Master, of course. That's a classic.
Yeah. But if you look at the first video, the comic book was intertwined with the video. So like the whole thing was, you know, they was making us like superheroes. That's why we was dressed the way we was dressed.
Mm.
So then, like I said, the album came out with the comic book cover, and then the comic book was in Rap Master. So a couple people still to this day run up on me. Matter of fact, when I was in Vegas, some cats pulled it out. I signed it for them.
Oh, wow!
I was surprised they had it. I was surprised.
That's classic.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember who designed the cover?
Yeah, my boy's Soda, Fizz. You know what I mean? I still talk to Fizz. You know, Fizz is a big time. Well, he doesn't really. There's a lot of tattoos now, but he, you know, he was a big graphic designer. Him and his kid named Mike. I still talk to them to this day. So.
Now.
He was calling himself Soda back then.
Now, when you were on your DJ journey, how did you get to go to Kiss FM, and what was your journey like to there?
Well, like I said to you, man, when I first started, you know, back then, you know, you had to make a name for yourself. So, like I said, from the basement to the park, from the park to different community centers, and then came a spot called Fever, where I met the world at, man. There was two key spots that everybody went to. It was the Fever and the Roxy. I met the world in those two clubs. So, you know, back then, you know, you was just basically trying to hang out and network and meet people that was in your world, because, you know, it was like the early beginning, you know, you talking 80, 81, 82, and people basically started going into the studio and like doing records, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in, you know, like I said, the Fever and the Roxy was the two main hip hop clubs. So I'm in the club one night, the Roxy's, and this guy runs up on me by the name of Barry Mayo, and he tells me, me and Red was in there together, so he tells me, y'all want to put this rap music on the radio. We was like, yeah, right, whatever. So I didn't believe him at first, because, you know, he didn't look like, you know, he knew what he was talking about. But so the next day, Red goes out, yo, he calls me on the phone, yo, it's real, it's real, it's real. So that's okay.
Mm.
So 2 days later, I went down there. You know, I got handled about 4 or 5 times. They wouldn't let me go in the back. So the receptionist guy went somewhere. I said, yo, I'm going to find this dude, Barry Mayo. So when I walk in the back, I see Bob Slade and Chuck Leonard sitting back there. And then they brought me to meet Barry. And Barry goes, I was wondering when he's going to walk back here. And then he brought me to the dude, which was the program director. His name was Tony Q. And the rest is history.
Yep. Then became one of the legendary DJs on radio. And what was your experience like DJing on the radio from where you were, like you said, like basement, and then,
you know,
moving
like,
on?
Like, you know, when we first started doing that, man, we didn't get no more money. So a lot of people think, oh, y'all was getting paid. See, but I knew back then that I could make my money in the street with the clubs. You know, like I said, you had to make a name for yourself. So everybody was jockeying for position like they still do now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So your whole thing is to make a name for yourself so people can know who you are. But, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was all good. But I knew from the first time when I made my first tape, and I just heard every car playing it. And I was like, yo. every Friday night, came on 9 o'clock, or every car riding around was bap, bap. It was just crazy. I know what this is getting ready to be. Okay. I know what this is. hey, man. You know, I thank God for the opportunity. You know, I'm going to do it until the day God comes to get me. You know what I mean? I heard Minister Farrakhan say one time, he said, lions don't retire, they die on the job. So that's how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So.
And I know I've heard a lot from, like, throughout, like, members of my family as well, like, people I knew, like, the I remember they'd record, like, your mixes when you were on air, and they're like, I'll never forget those.
Where? You was born and raised in New York?
No, I'm from Connecticut.
What part?
Fairfield County.
Okay, where's that near? Bridgeport?
Yeah, that's near Bridgeport.
Oh, so you know, you ever heard of my people called the Skinny Boys?
I actually haven't.
Yeah, well, those guys were from up there, and I was the only one playing. They were the only really rap group that came out of Bridgeport that actually made a name for themselves for the Skinny Boys, and I was the only cat playing them. They were signed to Jive Records.
Wow. I didn't even know that, because coming from Connecticut, like, we really don't have that many artists and, like, don't know of many artists who were established out of Connecticut.
Yeah,
so
you had a couple. You had Steezo. He was from New Haven. He had that song, it was him and Chris Lowe for Fake the Funk. I know he had two songs. He was on Sleeping Bag.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to those. I did not know about this.
Yeah, his name is Steezo. He's from New Haven, and the Skinny Boys were from Bridgeport. You know, those two were the first. And then when I first met EPMD, Paris was going to the University of Connecticut. He was a football player. Yeah, so.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you're talking 1983.
That's way before my time. I was born in 1999.
it's all good, but you was, you know, your people played the music around you, so you brought up on it.
Yeah.
So, it's all good.
But hearing from, like, family members and people around in my neighborhood, they're like, the Chuck Tillout tapes. Oh, they're like, oh, man, I used to record those. Those were legendary. And I know people who still have the cassette tapes that, and what they were.
You know, but, you know, it's just funny, man. You know, I remember about 3 years ago that they booked me to do a club in England. So, like a fool, I walked through the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what made me do that. Yo, it took me 3 hours to get from one side of the club to the other side. And everybody wanted to take pictures. I took every picture inside. It took me 3 hours to get from one side. Two stories. And I was like, wow. So, you know, those tapes, man, they ended up all around the world, believe it or not, man, because I don't been to a couple places. People don't pull out tapes, but I was like, "Yo, he said, yo, my cousin from Brooklyn sent me this." I was like, "Really?" So it's all a blessing.
Yeah, we all know one of your famous one was the Bridge Wars. That's a big one.
Well, that was really, you know, Red was with KRS-One, and KRS-One was really battling battling MC Shan. I wasn't really in that war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my war was me and Red was going up against Marley and Magic. That was my thing. This is a straight M on the weekend. You know what I mean? So, and that was our thing. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, what was it like during that time? Because I always hear stories from with the MC Shan and then the Boogie Down Productions.
Shan was dissing the Bronx, and Chris was dissing Queens.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's how it was. You know, but everybody's good friends now. You know what I mean? But it was definitely territorial back then.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you represented your hood to the fullest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And going back to what you said about England, I know you're huge on touring overseas as well, and I know you like to tour and DJ in Japan.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times. Yeah.
What was it like being over in Japan?
Man, I almost didn't come back. Last time I was in Korea last year, and I was supposed to go back, but the last time I was there was like 1995. I stayed a month, and I did a bunch of clubs over there, you know. But the funny thing about them, they'll just come and watch you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't dance. They stand and watch you and see what you're going to play and what you're going to do. But it was definitely different.
Mm.
You know, with the down with spot called Roppongi. Roppongi's like how the old 42nd Street was.
Mm-hmm.
All the main clubs was in Roppongi. I did a spot called Liquid Room and Club Yellow.
Hmm.
So, you know, it was 2,000 or 3,000 people was in there. It was crazy.
And I know you were one of the first DJs to really play hip hop in Japan.
Yeah, I was on a station called Bay 78.
Oh, okay.
FM Yokohama. Yeah, because the thing to what it was, when I was on KISS, there was a producer cat that was doing a show in the back, and he was telling me, yo, I'm on the air in Japan. Would you mind doing a show? I said, nah, I'll do it. Man, I did it. The next thing you know, I was over here. You know, I almost didn't come back, bro. I almost didn't come back. I stayed a month. I almost didn't come back.
Now, do you prefer overseas from in the United States?
Time you can get out of New York City and see God's world, it's all good. You know what I mean? But I love my New York City to the fullest. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
But I like to travel. That's basically more better.
Because when I interviewed Master Ace, he was telling me that when he preferred overseas over here, like the fan base and the promoters were more professional over there as well.
Promoters a funny style anyway, you know, they act like they got the, you know, that everyone, so like, you know, there's some good ones and there's some bad ones, that's anything you do, you know, people, you know, they fly you somewhere and they got the deposit, you know, they put you in a 4 or 5 star hotel, and a lot of them try to depend on ticket sales, but they don't do good ticket sales. And then, you know, then they come with the sob story. Yo, I ain't got all the money. But, you know, we ain't trying to hear that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I got nothing to do with that. You know, you got to give me mine. You know what I mean? So.
And I also read somewhere while you were in Japan, you broke out some artists as well on air and in general when you're DJing, such as like A Tribe Called Quest and Run DMC.
Yeah, that was on that station. I was basically doing the same show on KISS I was doing on that station, at FM Yokohama, until they changed the format, and then they took me off.
Now, what was the reception from Japan while you were playing hip hop?
It was big. I'm talking. This was 19 when I was doing that show. It was 1994, 95, and 96. Then they changed format.
Mm.
They started playing themselves after they were playing hip hop, and they sold it. The next time they started playing Beethoven and stuff like that after that. So I don't even know if the station is even there now. But back then, you know, I was playing all the, you know, the stuff I was playing on Kiss.
Now, growing up during like a great time of hip hop, who were some of your favorite artists?
It was so many of them, man. You had Public Enemy, you had Run DMC, me and Chip Stuff, EPMD, LL Cool J, Audio 2, Stetsasonic, Heavy D. It was that era was the best time of hip hop. That was the golden era.
It was.
Ice Cube, you know what I mean? NWA, because Chuck D was the first. Chuck D was the cat that gave me the NWA cassette. So.
Oh, he was the first one to give you that cassette?
Yeah, he was the first one to give me that cassette. I was the only cat playing NWA. And as a matter of fact, I was the only cat playing West Coast rappers in New York, period, with me.
Wow.
I was playing MC Hammer. I was playing King T. I was playing Ice Cube. I was playing Ice-T. I was playing N.W.A. You know, me and Eazy-E was tight until he passed. You know what I mean? He came and saw me a couple times. I wish I could have kept that interview when I had him up there. I lost that tape somewhere.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I was the only one, you know, playing them, you know, those guys. So when they came into town, you know, they came by the show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was cool with Mike Concepcion, you know what I mean? So
I never knew that. Now, what was the reception out here because you were playing the West Coast?
Well, you know, a lot of people back then was hating on West Coast stuff. There was another cat called Paris. You know, he was like the West Coast Public Enemy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He was on Tommy Boy records. But I was playing anything that was dope, I played. So, you know, I didn't have a problem. Cats were like, yo, why you playing that? Then forget them West. I was, man, nah, man, it's something hot. You got to play. Because they had good songs back then. So I know for a fact I was the only one playing, you know, all that stuff back then. So.
And NWA was definitely a huge impact because of the whole with the police, and they spoke up for what was really happening in the world, and as well as Public Enemy too. They spoke up on politics.
Oh, yeah.
And I say this a lot to people. I said we need more rappers like that today, I feel like, who just
being conscious. The other day I was talking to Chuck. He said he was going to address a couple issues on the next album, so maybe he may hit something next.
Ooh, I'm hoping, because we never see that anymore. It's rare, because a lot of it, like, it's no space music. There was no space music back then.
Nah, it was none of that, man. That's why I don't understand, man. When I hear, you know, there's a lot of these rappers, man, that come out now, they got 3 or 4 songs that sound the same. And I say to myself, is it me or y'all not hearing that? Because I know in my era, if you made 2 songs that sounded the same, you was finished.
Yeah.
You was done. You know what I mean? So, but hey.
It's so tough to listen to radio today on a lot of stations. And I know I tune into your show every Saturday night, 11 to 12 a.m., because I can get that feel of the old school hip hop. I mean, I can't listen to the what they call mumble rap. I can't.
I call it space music.
So. Space music, that's right.
you gotta smoke something, understand what they're saying. Some of that stuff.
Oh my gosh.
It's all good though.
Yeah.
You know, some of those guys are dope. You know, I like Meek Mill.
Oh yeah, I have a lot of respect for Meek Mill.
I like him, but, you know,
he's doing a lot for the community too.
Yeah, you know, I like some of that stuff. You know, Rick Ross. Like that dude, designer. You know, I'm gonna tell you a funny story. So one day I'm up in the station, right? So this guy designer's in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yo, man, what's up? How you doing? He goes, and I said, excuse me. He started making all that noise. I said, yo, this guy's retarded. Yo.
Because I got another story for you here at St. John's University. He came and performed here for I think it was tip-off for the basketball team. Okay. And because we have the security here at the school called Public Safety, and he went on the court and yelled, F Public Safety, and he's banned from St. John's. He's not allowed to come back here.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, he showed up here. He was like, F Public Safety. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, it won't bring him back here.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you gotta be careful of what you're saying out here now, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he started, what's wrong with this?
Did he know who you were?
I don't think so.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
But, you know, his girlfriend, Master, yeah, you know what I want to do. His girlfriend that he's with now, she used to work at the station. So she used to do overnight. She's his manager now. So, but yeah, he knew. He just started with the weird things and noises. I said, yeah, okay, pal, you have a good day, pal.
Yeah, he's a part of the space music.
Yeah, he's definitely part of that game.
Oh, my gosh.
But funny thing is, you know, my stepson, he plays all that wild stuff, and I be looking at him like, yo, that is rap, bro. You ain't doing all that.
No. That.
and then he gets mad when he hears the old school stuff. He goes, I should know this stuff. What do you mean you should know? You grew up around it. That's why you know it.
Yeah, and it's just insane, like, how hip-hop has evolved, because it started out with the MCs and the lyrics and the DJs and the vinyl.
No. It started with the DJ first.
Yeah.
The DJ was the main point of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
People came to hear the music. And then MC Coke the Rock got on the mic and said, you're rocking, you don't stop at the rest. You know? Then they created, then that's what created all the monsters that's running around here now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, wow. And then it went from the 80s, which was such a big time coming up with Run DMC. They made such an impact in hip hop.
Oh, yeah.
And many groups.
I went on the road with those dudes.
What was it like with them on the road?
Fun. We had a good time. Mm. I remember we was in Detroit, and it was like 90% of the crowd had been hot dogs. And Run goes, anybody got on a pair of Adidas? Put it in the air. That was the whole crowd. Pick up their shoes, put it in the air.
Yeah, it's just, they did so much for the culture, and Adidas, like, I think of Adidas, I think of Run DMC, and vice versa.
Of course. Yeah, they reinserted that brand back still to this day.
Yeah.
They have an impact on that brand. There ain't too many ball players wearing Adidas. They wearing Nike. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Nike and Converse was really the main sneaker everybody was wearing when I was growing up.
Yeah, that's right. And same today, a lot of people like Jordans and Nikes.
Yeah.
I'm a big Ewing guy.
Oh, yeah. When he came out with his sneaker, that was a big sneaker.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so you remember when he had his own sneaker, the Ewing sneaker? You remember that one?
Yeah.
Cause he had one with Adidas, and then he started his Rome with Sneak Alliance.
Mm.
Yeah, he had two joints for that. For that orange and blue one he had on Adidas, that was a hot.
I've seen pictures of it.
Yes, he did. You can still buy them. You know, certain stores still got them, but they gonna run you.
Yeah.
200, 250. Like that store that I'm on, all the way downtown got it. What's that? House Street, that's the store.
Oh, is it House of Hoops?
No, that big Adidas store, House in Broadway.
Oh.
Yeah, they got them in there. They like a buck 75, 200. You know, throw them in there.
Wow.
You know,
it's different how like the whole like hip hop culture changed, like with sneakers and clothes. Like even now, like today, like the total fashion is different. I remember everything was like extra large, like double XL, and now everything's all tight.
Yeah, everybody's wearing tight stuff. You know, I don't understand it. It should be a size too tight. I said, kind of, you know, man, what if you gotta run, man? You look at. Well, you gotta run somewhere, bro. You gotta catch a plane. You can't run in those tight pants. You just look at
me. Oh my god.
It's all
good. Yeah. And then as we transition to like the 80s, late 80s and early 90s, we started seeing more rappers like Nas and Tupac, and they made a big impact on the culture. And what was it like during that time in the 90s? Because that was huge.
Mm-hmm. It got strange after 2000. It got strange.
When would you say it started to get a little like hairy? There, you're like, oh, I don't know where this is heading.
Like 2001, 2002, it started to get strange.
Which rapper, in your opinion, changed it?
That dude, Soulja Boy.
Soulja Boy.
Yeah, yeah. I was in the. Me and my cousin was in the car. And that's he came on, he's a superstar.
Oh my god.
And then my son was like, you know what you're talking about, right? He's saying something real wild. And he had to explain it to me. I was like, wow, that's on the radio like that, spinning at 2:30 in the afternoon. I said, yeah, it's definitely Jake.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
There's also been people that have told me that they think Lil Wayne changed hip hop too.
I know. When I first saw Soulja Boy, I was in my car. I had to pull over. I said, "What is this? Nonsense?"
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, Lil Wayne was a little different. But all that cash, early Cash Money was different.
Mm.
There was another label too that came out of Houston. I can't remember those dudes' names.
Was it Paul Wall?
No, it was Cash Money and another label.
Mm.
Those dudes, they didn't stay around long. They disappeared. But I remember they was from Houston.
Hmm.
It wasn't Rap-A-Lot Records either. They came out the same time as Cash Money.
Hmm.
But they had a distribution deal for Universal. I can't. Was it Chameleonaire?
Yeah, that's right. Chameleonaire.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. What. I know they was on Universal.
Hmm.
Universal MCA, but they was from Houston though. I remember that.
I do remember Chameleonaire. That was like 2005.
Yeah, he came later on, but I'm talking about like right when Cash Money was coming out. Yeah, came out too.
Hmm.
But they didn't stay around long. They kind of faded. But I know they was from Houston.
Mm.
I know. I can't remember. They had a player come to me after I get off the phone with you. Alright. So how many listeners you got over there, bro? You take live callers too and all that?
What was that?
I said you take live callers over there on the station.
Yes, we do.
No, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to ask you, what was your favorite hip-hop album of all time?
Can't really pinpoint that. It was a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. How about your favorite to spin?
That's hard, bro.
Mm.
You know, it's Public Enemy, Fear of a Black Planet, NWA stuff. Ice Cube stuff. You know, it's hard to, you know what I mean? And Run DMC.
Yeah.
Big Daddy Kane. You know, it's hard, man. All that stuff was hot back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody was putting out good stuff. I can't really say my favorite, man. It was too much. LL Cool J stuff, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That whole going back to Cali.
Yeah, that radio album was incredible, man.
Yeah.
And then same thing with Houdini.
Oh, Friends.
With 5 Minutes of Funk and even that record Nucleus.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm on it. And you can't really, that boy, you can't really say, you know, it was just coming one after another, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was the golden era of hip-hop.
It was. And there's a lot of kids out here today, like I talk with them at my school, they don't even know who Raekwon and Ghostface Killah are. I'm like, huh?
That's great.
It's just puzzling to me that there's so many people out here that don't know the legends and the icons, and it's like...
That's crazy.
Because they're so involved in this new hip-hop, and I'm like, that's just... I just say it right now, it's just straight trash to me. Like, I can't... I just can't listen to it. I don't even know if then they'd understand it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they don't. Cause I've asked them.
Oh, yeah?
I've asked them. Believe me, when I see them in that hallway, I ask them, what are you talking about? What are you saying? Oh, I don't know, OG. Wow. Okay. They can't tell.
Oh, my God. But it's very puzzling.
Believe me, being in that room, and I see them in the hallway on the elevator, and I ask them, what are you talking about, bro? What is your message to your fans? You know what I mean? What are you saying to them?
I believe it.
And they'd be like, oh, I'm just talking what I'm saying. I'm like, what? All right, pal, have a good day. A couple of them get angry when I ask them that. A couple of them get angry.
Really? Do you know any of the artists who have gotten angry?
Nah, we ain't gonna mention no names.
No.
A couple of them got angry. Yo, man, you know. And a couple of them think that they are like the architects of this thing too. You only been around a hot minute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, that was cast before me, but I remember.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, but it's all good. You know, when you put in the time, if you can last 5 years and still be relevant, then you can talk.
Mm, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Who are some of your favorite artists that are out today?
Like I said, you know, I like Meek Mills. I like Rick Ross. What's this kid? What's that kid?
Do you like Kendrick Lamar?
Nah,
really? Yeah, that's a big one out here.
You don't really pull my chain. But some people like him. I used to be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
what's my man that made that song? Drink.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What's his name? That's Kendrick.
Yep, that's Kendrick. That was off of Swimming Pools.
Okay, that was the only song I liked by him.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know.
The only thing I liked by him.
There's a couple other artists as well. J. Cole, Dave East.
Yeah, Dave East.
I really like Dave East. He's very overlooked, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's cool.
I know there's a Joey Badass as well.
What's the big fat guy?
Action Bronson.
He sounds like Ghostface.
He does. And I remember when Action Bronson, I forget what he was on, ESPN or some interview, and he was like, someone said, compared him to Ghostface, and he said, don't compare Ghostface to me because he's washed up.
Wow. He said that?
Yeah.
Those Wu-Tang Clan still move around, but they travel around the world all the time. Matter of fact, on that same show was RZA and Ghost on that same show in Las Vegas. They were off Scott, left them out. They were on that show too.
Those are legends.
Yeah. So when you on every day?
I'm on every Monday night at from 8 to 9:30 p.m. and then I have a Wednesday show from 9:30 to 11 p.m.
Okay, so you're on there mixing and interviewing people.
Yeah, basically I started out last year, throwing all the '90s hip hop on air at St. John's University, and it's just been great ever since for me.
Alright, so you want to do radio for a career?
Yeah. It's something I've like fell in love with though, because I always liked radio, and just listening to DJ's mix.
So you wait for it, you don't caught the bug, huh? Yeah, okay, get ready for it, my brother.
Yeah,
get ready for it.
Now, where do you see hip hop heading in the next few years? Do you think it could go back to lyrics?
Well, there's a couple songs I hear now. Couple guys are starting to spit with some sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, my whole thing is this, man. You know, when that computer came into the forefront, to me, I think it destroyed the way the music sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know we used to go into studios and be in there, you know, 15, 16 hours. You know, and to me, tape sounds better than that digital. To me, it had a more warm feel to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That digital sounds more metal-y. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you gotta. If you know anybody that has a 24-track studio, man, you need to go witness that and then sit with the digital and you'll see the difference.
I believe
to
it.
To me, that changed it. You know, that computer took over. You know, and to me, I think it destroyed the whole system of how we was networking and politicking to make moves, because it destroyed the record stores. It put the record stores out of business.
It did, because not as many artists are making money anymore.
No, it put a lot of record labels out of business. A lot of independent labels went out of business. See, that was always, see, back then, if you couldn't get on a major, there was always an indie that would put your stuff out, and you would still go out and make some money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to me, there's somebody going, oh, he's old, you don't know what he's talking about. But I just think that it destroyed us a whole lot of things, man. When it wants to, like, you don't see nobody. There's no album release parties. You know, nobody picks up the phone. All this old email and crap, you know what I mean? And, you know, we used to have, like, these conventions. The impact, you know, how can I be down? You could physically touch a president of a regular. You could physically touch him and talk to him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They always wanted to know what was the next thing coming, but you don't see none of that now.
No.
There's no networking. There's no nothing. You know, everything got condensed and downsized when that computer took over. And then there are like people that thought they were DJs, not that they could DJs. Not all they got to do is go on the computer and download some music. But until you carry 15 crates of records and carry 10 speakers and load it up in the van and take it out, set it up, take it apart, load the van back up, and then unload it again and put it in your house. You understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't, but, like, I know of people who did, and that's the art of hip-hop. That's where it started.
Yo, man, my back now is kind of messed up from that. So,
I believe it.
You know what I mean?
I believe it. And then it was much harder, like, setting up, like, with the needle and everything. Now it's just, you just load it right in.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, we used to call with 10 speakers, man. So if you got four, five to 18s, and then you got 15s, and you got some horns, and then you got to bring like three racks of amps, and on top of a turntable, you know what I mean? And that stuff was looking light, and then the record, that stuff looking light, bro. That was a very expensive habit, man.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, man, you know, hey, man, I would have, if I had a chance to do it all over again, I probably would do it. I would make a couple of different changes.
I definitely want to learn on vinyl if I ever, like, take this any further.
There's no turntables in the studio?
No. There was electronic. We have electronic. And so I always just said that, like, from the beginning. Like, when I first got my first set of turntables, it was the DDJSX2. I always said I want to have a set of vinyls because that's the way. And, like, for, like, what I promote and what I mix, like, it just doesn't feel genuine, like, on electronic turntables, because when I mix, I play the 90s hip-hop.
Okay. So I'd say what I'm going to do. When we get off the phone, I'll get you on the phone with my partner. And if we need him to come by there and mix live with you, he'll bring the turntable, you plug into the system, and then keep it 100, you know what I mean? He'll come by there and do it with you.
I appreciate that a lot.
All right.
I really appreciate that.
All right. Yeah, he'll do that with you.
Yeah.
All right.
I always wanted to know the feel of, like, mixing with vinyl. Like, it's something you can speak on because you've done it your whole life, but, like, I just want to know, like, what it is.
That's the way I was taught on the turntables and the mixer, man. You know, it's the best feeling in the world, man.
Mm.
You know, you just actually gotta, you know, do it, man, and then you understand what it is. And then you got thousands of people listening to your every move, but it's even a whole nother rush. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But damn, man. And well, you know, when, like I said, when we get to, man, you know, send me the email through the DM. And I'll put you on the phone with my partner, and he'll come out there with the tables. And matter of fact, I might come out there with him, and we'll do something crazy one night. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow! That would be legendary.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'll set that up. All right.
I appreciate that a lot.
All right.
I really do.
All right, bro.
And I just want to remind everyone to tune into your show every night on WBLS.
No, every Saturday.
Yep, that's right. Every Saturday at 11 p.m. to 12 a.m.
Yes, sir. Boom banging on your radio, baby.
That's right. Now, what will your preview be for this Saturday night? Is it going to be the...
I don't, you know, man, I don't know until I get in the... When I'm setting up the turntables, and this stuff just pops up in my head.
Because I remember when before you officially went on air for 11 p.m., you were playing Camp Low, Lucini.
Yeah, I played that this weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah,
right.
I never know until I got the computer in front of me, and then I go, okay, let me play this. And then I'm off to the race. That's how I was always. When I had the record, so I would go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, the record, I would go. You know what I mean?
It depends on your mood, too, I think, too.
Yeah. I'm still that way now.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I feel like you're on, like, a chill mood, you want to play, like, R&B, and then, like, when you're just, like, in a, like a nasty mood, you'll want to throw on something like you played Saturday night, the Mobb Deep.
Yeah,
hard. Yeah, you were, like, the stick-up music.
Yeah, that's right, baby. I've got the official stick-up music on.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that was.
It's better than space music, 100%.
Right about that, bro.
Yeah. I wish it'll go back to that, though. I really do.
Yeah, it will come back. And I'm hearing some things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing some things.
I'm hoping.
All right.
And I want to thank you tonight, Chuck Chilla, for calling into my show.
No problem, bro.
I really appreciate it.
You reached out, so, like I said, man, I'm going to set up some. I'll probably come out there with, you on for 2 hours?
Yeah, I'm on from Monday nights to 8 to 9:30 p.m.
Okay.
I'm gonna.
And you, on, And when you on Wednesdays?
Wednesdays, I'm on from 9:30 to 11 p.m.
Okay. All right, so that sounds like... So we can't come out there and just take over? you tell the program to make sure we take it over for like 5 hours?
I'll have to tell them.
I'll tell you what we do. We'll set up something. You know, I'll come out there one Wednesday night. We'll just hang out and just go through certain things and talk about certain things, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to learn on vinyl. I definitely would. It would be a great learning experience for me.
Yeah, I'll set it up with you, okay?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it, Chuck. Chill out.
Man, no problem, man.
Is there anything else you want to add?
Nah, man. You know, we're good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you wanna be a DJ or a rapper, you know, just you gotta eat, drink, and sleep this thing, man. You gotta put in the work. You can't give up no matter what. You're gonna have people in your ear telling you, you know, yo, you don't need to do that. If they tell you that, get them out your life because they don't know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you want, so you go do what you want. That's how I always think. You know what I mean? I've had many girlfriends tell me, oh, this is nothing, and they're gone.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again, Chuck Chella, for calling in. I'm going to reach out to you as soon as this is done.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll set up some of you on blast. We'll come out there on a Wednesday, and then he'll bring the turntables, and we plug in, and then we go from there. We'll do it all right.
All right. Thanks again, Chuck Chella. I really appreciate this.
No problem, Max. No problem.
And have a good night. Yep. That was DJ Chuck Chillout, one of the greatest DJs of all time, calling into WSJU Radio tonight. Gave a insight on how he liked the DJ and how it took him on a long journey, and the artists who he's been on the road with, and as well as much more insight on the music today, the music back then. And I definitely look forward to chopping it up with Chuck again. And stay tuned. Some more coming soon. And again, thank you, Chuck Chillout, for calling in tonight. It was a big blessing for you calling in tonight. Definitely a legend on the turntables. And now, when I come back on air, I will be back on air with my brother DJ Marco and Pretty Lou, one of the hottest hosts in NYC. And stay tuned.
Thank you so much. Thank you, bud. Thank you. My God.
Here we go. Now the introduction. It's Cool Jeff Bronx with production. The instructions.